Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are halfway through February.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Well, same to you.
And did you have a nice, did you do something special?
Oh, we had a big dinner.
Yeah. My wife was frantic.
Why?
We were kind of together in the morning and had a little breakfast. She left and then she calls me a panic that she totally forgot it was Valentine's Day and didn't get me a card. Which then I reminded her.
She could have spent the time getting you a card rather than calling you.
Yeah. And then at the same time, I reminded her I didn't get her a card either. So we're even.
Well.
In my bed?
To buy chocolates or flowers or something.
I don't know. She doesn't like chocolates. She likes chocolates, but then it's fattening. She doesn't like flowers because they die. You know, just get her a puppy or something.
There's a Valentine's gift. A puppy.
Well, there's been a lot of things happening since last week, since last we chatted. We're back to the good is bad and bad is good. Japan markets finished the week down a whopping 14.5% last week.
That's pretty bad.
Pretty ugly. With a, I think it was 5.5% on a couple of days. One day it was up a little bit. And the yen rallied to 111, which is pretty amazing. And this is on the heels of the negative interest rates. And they're not stopping saying how good this is going to be. Insisting that, no, the market's got it wrong. So we did see that on, I guess when we got back from the elongated holiday here, they posted a GDP of -1.4% year over year. Huh. So that was good because it sent the yen back to 114 and the markets rallied 5%.
Yes, that's nothing but sense.
So what I thought was really interesting about this is that the Abenomics that have been in play for, what was it, 3 years now? 2.5, 3 years? You know, the three arrows, and we got to drop the yen, and we got to expand the monetary base. And
Abenomics, yeah.
Not so good, huh?
Seems so, yeah.
Yeah. Look at the GDP chart that we put up there. You see that since the Abenomics started in 2011, 2012, it's been really spotty, but the GDP on a quarter-to-quarter basis, it's, you know, just constantly up and down. And this all started also with the fact that, if you remember, when the Abenomics started, the whole thing was, okay, we're going to monetize the currency, we're going to expand the monetary base, we're going to drop the yen, we're going to do all these things. And initially, it was really good because it was quantitative easing and it was, you know, bringing down the yen. And then they had to, because of the tremendous amount of debt that they have and the service on that, there was a panic that the ratings groups were going to potentially, you know, drop the ratings on the Japanese sovereign debt. So they implemented a sales tax, which pretty much just stopped the economy in its tracks.
And added tax, I guess.
Yeah, value, exactly. Which is, I mean, still, it's not much different than a sales tax, right? I mean, you pay on the goods, right?
Yeah.
So that stopped the economy, and they had another one to do, and they said, well, maybe we won't do that at this point, because obviously these guys don't know what the hell they're doing. None of these
that
central
would be
bankers,
my conclusion, yes. I
mean, none of these central bankers know what they're doing. They're kind of off their whackers. We did see that the U.S. markets finished lower for the week, even with the Friday surge of about 2%. And this week started a little bit differently, though, because we had at the beginning of the week, instead of the end of the week, the various central bankers jawboning. We saw that Draghi once again saying that, well, you know, if we have to, and we're really willing to, if we're going to, we're just, you know, there's nothing going to stop us here. We're going to add more stimulus in March. Mm. And Kuroda was talking about the benefits of negative deposit rates. And of course, we saw the amazing end of week rumor that OPEC is going to have a surprise meeting, a secret meeting. This was a secret meeting. So they announced a secret meeting. I mean, I don't know what kind of secret it was at that point.
Not much of a secret.
That they're going to meet and discuss things. So they met, actually. They did this time. They actually met, and it was Russia and Saudi Arabia.
And I think one other country.
Yeah, there was Saudi. Was Venezuela?
Qatar, I think.
Oh, Qatar. And they made an announcement that they are going to freeze production at the levels they were in January.
Right, which was high.
Right, exactly. Enormous, you know, historically high. So just to clarify this, there's a difference between a freeze and a cut.
Right.
So a cut is, let's
especially
say,
that, when you've been jumping it up.
Right. So they're going to, it's like saying, I've been racking up so much bills. I mean, I have been just, my credit cards are maxed out and I've been just spending incredible. You know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to spend any more than I've been spending.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Right?
It's nuts. I don't know what they were supposed to. It didn't assuage anybody, I don't think. I don't think anyone was fooled by that.
They were.
They're pretty much at max capacity now.
Right. So they were fooled for a little while. They were fooled over the weekend. I mean, oil did rally like 14% or something from.
Yeah, until someone got figured out what they said.
Right. And then it dropped 4% today. So it's still right at about 29 and change.
Yeah, that's about where it's going to stay, I think.
29,
30. I bought some gas. Finally, our gas is really low down here, but it's $1.69 for regular up in Washington State.
Right.
And here it's $1.90 something, which is under $2, and that's good.
That's really good.
I bought premium, it was $2.29.
Did you feel compelled to go into the store and buy something?
No.
Oh. I filled a car. It only cost me like $35 or $40. I'm like,
ah. I got filled my tank for $35.
$35.
Yeah, it used to be 70.
Right. So yeah. What did you do with the extra money?
I didn't do anything because it was all in the credit card.
Right. It wasn't like you felt like you had more money, right?
No, not yet.
Right. So until I don't know when that's going to happen, but it seems that consumers aren't at all inspired to spend more on other things. You know, the economists, the bullish economists out there they think there's a zero-sum game all the time. So if you're spending $100 on gas to fill up your tank and you only spend 50, they figure, well, that other 50, they're going to spend on dinners or something.
Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily happen, which can be totally proven by my weekend's venture into the bowels of retail. I had two separate places that I went. One was actually pretty good. I went into a Sears. This is my second time now in about a year.
I haven't been into a Sears for well over a year.
You should go because you could. It's very pleasant. You don't bump into anybody. there's plenty of room. You could actually do like a whole fitness trail in there and not be worried about bumping into with a blindfold and not worry about being, you know, bumping into anybody. Sales everywhere. And then I did want to buy this. My wife wanted this this stationary bike. I'm like, okay, I'll go with you and buy that. I know you're not going to use it after the first 2 days, but okay, I'll go get it with you. So we go there, and I said, is there anybody in this department? This is the exercise equipment department, outdoor, tool, and lawnmower area.
Okay.
Okay, pretty wide area. There's one person working this area at Sears. And I said, where's the guy? Finally, he comes out. I said, okay, well, I want to buy this particular bike, but it was like it was cheap. It was one of those small ones. It's like it was $279. But if you bought it online at Sears, it's $229. I said, well, can I have it at the $229 price? Nope. I said, wait a minute. Your website says it's $229. Well, that's if you order it online, he says. I said, but I'm here. I'm in your store. I want to get that for $229. He says, what you have to do is you have to go online and order it and have it delivered to the store. And if we have one in stock, I can give it to you. I said, really?
What?
I'm not kidding. You have to order it online, have it delivered to the store. And if they have it in stock, if they don't have it in stock, it'll be delivered to the store and you can pick it up another time. If they do have it in stock, they'll give it to you for the price you bought it online. Seriously. I checked this out with a couple of people. They agreed that that's what they do at Sears. So I said, do me a favor, before I buy this.
Buy one share of Sears stock and go to the shareholders meeting and bring this up.
This is crazy, right?
I'd like to hear somebody explain it to me.
Yeah, it's stupid. So I said, Can you go in the back?
Here's what I let me just go over the thing. Let me from my perspective.
Yeah.
I'm you. I'm in the store.
Uh huh.
The bike is right there. I have cash in hand.
Right.
To buy the bike at the price that you already scoped out, which was the online price.
Mm-hmm.
$229 And they won't sell it to me because of some rigmarole. I have to go through, I have to jump through a bunch of hoops to buy the bike that I'm staring at with cash in hand right there.
Right.
Right?
Because it's a different department or it's a different something.
Yeah, sure.
Right? That's what they're saying. It's a different
this company accounting system. Is not going to be in business much longer.
So I said, okay, you know what? I'll go through this. I'll deal with it. Can you tell me if you have it in stock? The guy disappears for 10 minutes. Nowhere to be found. At that point, I had like a couple other things in my hand. I'm like, all right, I'll buy this when I'm here. I'll buy that. Comes back. Nope, not in stock. Ugh. I said, forget it. I'm out of here. And left. Didn't buy a thing.
Okay.
Pretty crazy, huh? I did go into Costco as well. Costco was mobbed.
Is what?
Mobbed. Mobbed. Just you can't. The thought of buying, you get the exact opposite problem there with the same result. The exact opposite is they have the products there at a good price and you want to buy it. But then you look at the line and you're like, I'm not waiting on that line. And you just walk out with nothing.
Well, I have noticed a couple of things. One, if you go on a Thursday afternoon around 2 o'clock, boom, you're good at Costco.
Okay, that's
good.
There's
nobody there.
Right.
And if you go and you're judicious about what line you get in, if the store is well managed, it moves pretty quick. So it doesn't, the long line, unless the line is into the aisles or something, then of course you just must just come back some other time.
Right.
So I had a Costco thing though. So Costco's got some, they sent a little flyer out. And it says I can get these canvas prints that they'll frame. And I like giant canvas prints. So you take some photos, you make some giant canvas prints. They're very decorative. And it says they will, my wife looked at the thing and she says, oh, look, they'll deliver it. Because if you get a big canvas print that's like 48 inches by, or say 60 inches by something, I don't know what their max is, but it's big. You can get this, they got those big printers. You really can't put it in your car. There's no way of getting it home. But if they can deliver it in a van, okay, good. So but you have to do it online. So you go online at Costco online. Costco.com, then you go to photos. Two things. There's no mention whatsoever, any way, shape, or form of home delivery, which was in the flyer.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to have to go to the Costco and ask the photo department. The second thing is, they say, oh, free unlimited uploads of photos and photo storage at Costco for your convenience. So I didn't, this has not been advertised that I know of. So Costco, like all these other operations, Google and Microsoft, when they're cloud, they got a cloud.
Right.
And they'll store all your photos, all of them, they say.
Mm-hmm.
So you try to store, you know, more than 10 photos and they give you up error. doesn't work. Come back some other time. Do it again some other time. It's just an error, a miscellaneous error. So I tried it over and over again. You can't do anything. It uploads 2 photos and then it doesn't do anything. Then it doesn't find the files. It's just a mess. It doesn't work at all, from what I can tell.
Hmm. It's kind of like calling up a company and customer service and you're on hold for 10 minutes and they just hang up on you.
It's unbelievable. And the worst part about the error that they have when you try to upload, it says, for one thing, to get to the file, say you want to pull them off your Microsoft Cloud OneDrive. To get to the thing to start pulling the files off, you got to go through a rigmarole. You got to click on this, you got to click on that, you got to click on this, you got to click on that, you got to click on this, and boom, you start moving files. And so when it says, oh, error, oh, come back some other time when it's not so screwed up. And so you wait and you reboot it, but it takes all the work you did and it disappears. So you got to click on this, you got to click on that, you got to click on this, you got to click on that. You start to move files, it moves 3 or 4 files over and then stops again. It's outrageous.
Yeah. The problem, the people, they put up this crap, they're throwing just junk against the wall, hoping something happens and they're not having it like, you know, tested or you know, no man on the street is doing the job to try to click it. They figured out, we'll just do this and nobody will notice.
Well, I think in the case of Costco, they probably jobbed this out to some operation that's just not competent.
Probably the group that did the original Obamacare sites.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now, meanwhile, the point of, what I was coming back to was so the whole point of saving money on your gas and not spending it. You know, we've been seeing that manufacturing has been continuing to slow in the U.S. We saw that the Empire manufacturing number was down at negative 16.9. I think it's 9 months in a row of severely negative numbers. Huh. And this is just just one piece of the whole manufacturing puzzle. Is, you know, you'll start hearing this two-speed economy concept come out. Whereas services are doing okay, where millennials and people are out there, you know, using services and restaurants, and whereas manufacturing and old line stuff isn't doing so well.
Huh.
So
two-speed economies, that's what the term is?
Yeah, I think that's what, yeah. I mean, that's probably what you're going to start hearing, two-speed economy, just to throw you off and make it so that you don't understand what happens, so that you just figure, well, it's two-speed. That's not bad.
Yeah, two-speed. Two-speed's good.
Yeah, two-speed's good. It's more than one speed, so that's good. And that means that one thing's okay, one thing's bad, and who knows what's better than the other. Now, over the weekend, I think I mentioned this to you, that my big concern is that after the holiday, the Lunar New Year holiday for China, that there could be a devaluation coming of the yuan, right? I mentioned that. And did I tell you that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what happened? Not that. So the Chinese New Year ends, and we see one of the biggest strengthening or the rises of the yuan since the last, I don't know, 10 years. In one day, the fixing was set pretty high just to instill confidence. There was some commentary from Chinese finance ministers saying that, you know, the discussion of devaluation is overdone and we're going to continue strengthening it because we want to have a more domestic related economy rather than export driven, blah, 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 blah. So the yuan has one of its best rallies on record. Okay. Markets do really well because everybody's saying, oh, they're not going to devalue. That's fantastic. And here's what I think. Beware the left hook. They're kind of like hitting you a little bit in the ribs, hitting you. Oh, they're kind of like pacifying you, tapping you. And there's a roundhouse coming. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if you look already at that chart, there's a little, the left hook. There it is. You see that the chart that I put up there. And if, by the way, anybody wants to check out these charts, you can go over to DH Unplugged and go over to the show notes of this show. And there's a little area where you can say, click here for show notes and links. Drops down and you can see all the stuff. But take a look at this. This is the movement on 215 from the top to the bottom. That's a strengthening or a weakening U.S. dollar, a strengthening yuan. And look what happened since then. Right back up. And now this was what? 6.52. Let me see where it is now. 6.527. 6.5, yeah, so it's even higher now. Still moving up. So I think that there's a lot of jawboning going on, a lot of kind of look this way and then smacking the head the other way coming. I'm still very concerned about the fact that China has not provided any look that their economy is doing any better, and the inevitable devaluation of their currency is coming, or at least a weakening of the currency. May not be overt, but I still think it's possible. You can't trust those guys. They don't seem to ever tell the truth, do they?
You know, the problem is there's too many people talking. And I don't think they're on the same page. I don't think there's a lot of coordination.
Yeah. So is that a train in the background?
Yeah.
How many trains do you have? Is that one continuous train or is that many different trains?
No, it's mostly traffic you're hearing from the freeway.
Oh. With loud horns.
That train is just in the distance.
Wow. Wow. What a great microphone you have.
Well.
Are you on the high? Yeah. What are you on?
It will pick up. No, this is a condenser mic.
Mm.
This very sensitive mic. It'll pick up everything.
Hmm. Well, in China, they seem to be loving the movies. I don't know if you've seen the numbers at the box office in China, but some of the numbers are unbelievable. And the retail sales over the spring rose about 11%, supposedly. And cinemas and movie theaters posted a tremendous increase in box office sales. So this is what they seem to do with their holidays. They go to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess they don't have. I guess they don't have Netflix yet. I think it's a big
market for us.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we just have to do some kind of, well, the problem is you need video because you have to have the subtitles in Chinese.
I don't know.
Can we do that?
There's a play there.
Well, think about it. Let me know. Maybe we have some people listening in China. Is that possible? They could tell us.
The Chinese have put together a large kind of a studio system, big studio. I think it was a $1 billion thing or something they built. And there's a bunch of American companies that partnered with them. And so when you go to the movies, you'll see certain movies. I'm trying to think which one I saw recently. It was, I think it was the newest Mission Impossible film.
Uh-huh.
And if you look at the opening credits, they throw in the studio, just Chinese studio name. And I think if these guys have partnered with Paramount, I believe, do these movies. I think they've partnered with Paramount and some other companies. I don't know. I think there's somebody's going to make a killing somehow in the Chinese market.
It's like Chop Suey Productions or something?
I don't know.
Spare Rib Films?
Yeah.
Wonton Images?
They always have these names, names for products. The Owl. The Owl Camera. Sparrow. Double eights.
It's a giveaway, right? Yeah. Total giveaway. Let's see here. I have so many things I want to talk about. I don't know where to start here, actually. Okay. Well, let me continuous update in about the DH Unplugged Close to the Pin Contest Hour. We loved that, didn't we? Wasn't that fun?
Oh, it's fantastic.
Fantastic, because we get the audience participation. They love it. You know, it's just great. So we are bringing it back newer and better. Wait till you see what we're going to have. It's going to be not the way that we would code this whole spreadsheet. It's a whole automated, really cool system. We'll announce a stock. We'll announce an entry date where you can enter the actual price that you think it's going to be on a certain day, and then, you know, nice prizes. Hey, by the way, remember that we had the last thing? We gave away an Amazon gift card?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you know it, the guy that wins it is not in the U.S.
Oh, how about that?
So what do? I didn't know this, so I sent him the $100 gift card, right?
Yeah.
He writes me back. No good. I said, what happened? He said, I tried to put in the code. Didn't work. So he gave me the code, and I put the code in my Amazon. It worked just fine. I had to go to amazon.co.uk and buy it on that site, and it worked fine.
Hmm.
So we fixed it.
Why did they make it so hard?
I don't know. I don't understand it. It makes no sense. Another one. It's like Sears again. Can't buy it on Amazon. You have to buy it on a different site. Probably that's the site that Amazon keeps all their profits.
What, the one in England?
Yeah. You know, they don't have to repatriate any of those profits.
If you ever go over there and do the same shopping you do here for various stuff, go to that UK site,
mm-hmm.
They have a completely different selection. Some of it much better than the selection we have.
But you can't get it shipped here.
Yeah, you can. That's the irony of it. You can get it shipped here.
On Amazon Prime, or does it cost money?
It costs money.
Yeah, well, I'm cheap like that.
And it's not, you know, as shipping from England is not trivial. It's not cheap.
Yeah.
But you can get it if mm-hmm. you want.
I don't know if you talked about this on No Agenda, but this is right up the gut of what Adam would be all over, I would think. It's this whole idea that countries are thinking about scrapping certain bills that are in circulation. Did Adam talk about this?
No.
Yeah, because Adam carries around a gold coin with him everywhere, just in case.
Yeah.
I mean, you never know when you, Armageddon, when you're out there, you know, getting your dry cleaning.
Yeah.
And you may have to need that gold coin.
Yeah, it comes in handy.
Yeah. So it seems that the ECB, there's been some undertone of this concept of, well, if we remove some of the bills, the larger bills in circulation, the party line is that that's going to prevent subversive activities, terrorists. I don't know why terrorists are carrying around 100 and 200, you know, 500.
The $500 bill is the one they're talking about, or 500 euro bill is the one they're talking
about. I guess if you're a terrorist, you're paying in big bills, I guess. I mean, because, you know, how else do you buy, like, a grenade launcher? You know, they're not going to take dollars. They want big notes. You know, if you get to spend, you know, $5,000, you might as well give them a small pile.
We used to have $500 bills in this country, and they took them away.
Yeah, well, they're thinking about taking them away in Europe, and the line is, again, because they want to stop any kind of potential of use of the currency that would be not criminal. You know, it would be criminal, criminal activities. So, but the real thing is...
Yeah, you can see what the job it did here in this country when they took the $500 bill out of circulation. The drug business just dried up.
Dried up. And if you take the 100 out, by the way, if you take all the bills out, they'd buy them with quarters.
This is true.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, so... And if you take all the currency out, all that, they'll start figuring out a different way to do it, which is the whole maybe idea of Bitcoin.
Yeah, it's the backup.
Yep, and gold and metals. But the whole real reason for this is when they start removing currency from the actual flow of cash, they have more control over the currency because they know exactly what's out there, right? They know it's actually in the hands of their citizens, the people there. They know who's holding it. So if we had no cash, we went to a totally cashless society.
Which they want to do.
Yes. And that's not a good thing because they'll be able to control the valuation of it much better. There'll be no black market, which...
Your money's worth half as much.
Yeah.
Or you'd have no more money. We decided to close your accounts.
Yeah, exactly. So this is maybe where Bitcoin comes in or, you know, Larry Summers even chiming in. Larry Summers, you got to love that guy. Floating idea of scrapping the $100 bill.
The $100 bill, the way the prices are right now, the $100 bill is the only one you really want to carry around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, you ever notice that when you go to, maybe it's just me, but I'm in line at the grocery store and somebody's in front of me, there's a guy in front of me. People are going to get mad at this, I know, but there's a guy in front of me and the bill is $17.32. Right?
Whatever you're going to complain about, I complain about all the time.
He's going to give a 20 to her and she's going to give him back change, or he's going to give him back change, wherever he's going to give, right? Isn't that what's going to happen? Yeah. When a woman goes up there and the bill is $17.37, it's an hour till she's shuffling around in her purse to find the 37 cents. It's like you're just
making this a sexist thing.
All right. Some people, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, they're always digging around for that little, especially for the last penny.
The last penny.
I know. I've got a penny in here.
I'm like, just take my dollar. Just please take my dollar and go. Let me pay for her all of her groceries. Move on. Or him, if you know what I'm saying. Anyway.
All right, before we go on, I just looked something up just to find it. Who is on the $500 bill?
Well, it's not Franklin. It's not Jackson. Jefferson, no. So it would be
William McKinney.
Oh, there you go.
And when was the last $500 bill printed?
Must have been the 70s?
1945.
Really? 45? That was worth $500.
Yeah.
That's when it was worth something. You had a $500 bill.
Bring the $500 bill back.
Yeah. That'd be great. Yeah, let's get rid of the pennies. That's stupid. They get rid of the small coins.
No.
That's where it adds up. You know what? That's where all that money is. All that money's hidden in those giant jars in people's homes.
Well, there's definitely a lot of money in giant jars. I have at least five of them.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm saying that's where the money goes. It's not these $500 bills. Nobody misplaces a $500 bill.
No.
And if you do, you're panicked.
Yes.
You're thinking about it. What do I do with it? Where do I drop it? You drop like, I don't know, $500 worth of pennies, quarters, dimes, and nickels over a couple of years. You'd never even think about it.
This is true.
Yeah. Oil. So we had this discussion that Saudi Arabia and Qatar and Russia got together with this freeze thing. Now, if there's any thought as to why oil prices have been going down, you have to look at this inventory chart. This is the ending stockpiles of crude and petroleum products from 1990 to present time. And the spike that we saw... Let's see, the first spike. Where did we see a spike like this before? 2004 through 2006.
Nothing like this spike.
Nothing like this.
No.
So the this idea...
This chart, people should definitely go to the website and check it out. This chart is outrageous.
Yeah, I pulled down the data today and I said, let me take a look at what the long term looks like on this thing. I'm like, oh my. And look at that little... Do you see the end? Look at the little bitty end, that spike there at the end?
Yeah, a little bit spike.
Yep, that's a big spike. I mean, when you think about the, you know, how much has been there to begin with. So in other words, there's just a tremendous amount of inventory here. Demand is obviously down. Production is up. So there's no question.
Force everyone to get these cars that don't use any gas and electric and all the rest.
Yeah.
And then you get these guys start pumping like crazy and you, it's, what do you expect?
Yep.
This gasoline may go below a dollar.
That would be unbelievable. That'd be great. I like that. So there's been a lot of chatter about why markets have been going down. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think we talked about this. We talk about so many things. It's a wonder why anybody does anything else but listen to our show.
You know, I kind of agree with that.
I mean the information
not
flow.
A damn thing we don't talk about.
It's nothing. We talk about movies and, you know, people digging for dimes and quarters.
Movies in China.
Yeah. So there's been this little kind of talk about, well, maybe some of the reason the markets are going down is because, man, look who's possibly coming into office. You know, you got maybe Donald Trump, or maybe if it's not him, it's Cruz. Maybe you got Sanders. It's not him, it's Hillary. None of those may be good for the markets. Not to mention the fact that every single one of them seems to be directly pointing a finger at the markets and saying, you guys are thieves and we're going to bust you up. I don't think I ever heard such rhetoric from...
Well, Hillary's full of crap because she actually works with the banks, so she's not going to bust up anything. Bernie will, though.
Oh, yeah.
Or they still try.
Right.
You know, the president is not a dictator. They can't really do that much.
Well, it depends on if he has the Congress with him or not, but yes, I agree.
Yeah, Congress is always sketchy.
But even if the president can't single-handedly make rules that will be detrimental to the financial system, talking about it is not by the president is not good, or the president to be. You know, if Obama's walking around saying, no, those goddamn banks, we're going to bust them up, I would say that people would probably stay away from those investments.
Yes.
So here you go, right on the front cover of this week's Barron's. Take a look at this.
Yeah, I saw this.
Failed to load. What is that? Failed to load.
Which failed to load?
I don't know. It didn't come up on mine. File not found. Oh, it's the wrong name. On mine, it's wrong. Okay, so it's JPG. Enter. I got to fix that. So it's Barron's cover page. Trump, Sanders, are they killing the market? The rise of these two extreme candidates has correlated closely with the decline in stocks in the last 8 months. Focused on weakness in China, Europe, and oil prices, market experts are overlooking investors' growing political worries here at home. What does Donald Trump have white rings around his eyes?
I don't know. I think it's from wearing sunglasses or something.
Whatever
that goo is he puts on his face, he doesn't get around his eyes.
It's classic tanning booth look.
Mm.
Isn't it?
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Right, with those little plastic eye
those
shield
little
things.
Plastic thingies. Yeah.
Kind of, that's what it looks like. And if it is, by the way, it's a terrible suntan because he's like more like a, he looks like more like a tangerine than a suntan.
I think he uses man tan.
Oh, gosh. And he doesn't want to put on his eyes. All right, that's good. So that's a big question. Do you think this is possible? Or at least it's possible, of course. But do you think that this is what's happening? Do you think the markets are really concerned?
No.
You don't think they care?
I think it's just a Barron's thing. They're trying to, what are we going to do for the cover? Well, you know, Trump gets good. Let's put Trump and Sanders on the cover and then and blame them for the market. How's that sound? Sounds great, boss.
By the way, that is a great explanation, seriously, that Barron's wants to get ratings, so they put Trump on the cover because he knows that he's a great draw.
Yeah.
Ah, brilliant. See, that's what you... Again, why would anybody else listen to any other show but this? it just proves itself time and time again. All right, listen, so Apple, massive bond sale, 30-year bonds in the neighborhood of about $10 to $12 billion, about 2.1% points higher than Treasury. So the 10-year would be at 175, 180. So this will be at right under four, for a 10-year. 30-year, so you'll be at maybe 5 on a 30-year. They're going to issue $10 to $12 billion of dollar-denominated bonds, so U.S. bonds. And what are they going to do with it? They're going to bring it back, take the money, and then buy back shares. This is like IBM Part 2.
Huh.
And remember that Carl Icahn, who's a big fan, that said Apple is a trillion-dollar company. Apple's going to go to $240 a share. I'm buying it, and we're going to go in there and talk to, you know, Carl. My good friend Tim Cook and I have had lunch today and convinced them to do a big, fat dividend and convinced them to do a share buyback, which actually worked out very well for the Apple shareholders. Now, at the same time, today we find out that Icahn reduced his Apple stake by about 7 million shares. This is the stock that's supposedly going to 240 and it's at 95, so I'm not sure where the disconnect is there between the two.
Yeah, maybe he needed it for something else.
Yeah, gonna kind of buy a little building somewhere. But he reduced his Apple stake by 7 million. A couple of the guys, Einhorn, who was a big believer in Apple, and a couple others released it also, and chunks of their holdings. These were as of the end of the year, because you get it, these filings at the end of, they come out a month or so after the end of the year or end of the quarter. But I thought it was kind of interesting that he actually reduced his stake. And at the same time, Apple's going and doing another massive buyback plan. Kind of sad in a way that the good old days of Apple, just while they make tons of money, the fact is that they can't seemingly make enough to satisfy investors. Although there was an announcement.
People were going to lose interest.
Yeah, what was announced today? Today was an announcement that something Apple Pay is coming to China. Yeehaw. So it's up 2% today. I don't know if you heard about this. This is pretty incredible, actually. Acting on a tip, agents of the U.S. FDA went and did a surprise visit on a cheese factory in Pennsylvania. Back in 2012, they seemed to have done it. You get this news years later. They don't want to freak anybody out, you know?
No, don't want to freak anybody out.
Yeah. So they were looking for evidence that this Castle Cheeses was not actually having the 100% of cheese in their real Parmesan cheese. So they advertise 100% blah, 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 whether it's, you know, sheep's milk or cow's milk cheese. And, you know, the 100% cheese products, milk products, dairy. And for some reason, something was wrong. So they wanted to find out what was going on. What they did find was that they were actually putting in other products to substitute for more expensive, I guess, dairy products to fill it up and make it, you know, somehow last longer or at least heavier in weight, right? What was it? Wood pulp.
Yeah.
Wood pulp. I don't think that's probably good for you.
I don't think it's bad for you.
No, maybe not.
But I mean, McDonald's, I think, uses most of it. They use some sort of slurry or some sort of wood product. And it's my understanding is it's in both the meat and the buns.
You mean
too? For all practical purposes, wood pulp.
You're talking about for filler, for pump?
It's like a filler, yeah.
I mean, when you get, have you ever gotten, you get a roast beef. You get sliced roast beef at the deli.
Yeah.
And it's got that, you see that bluish glistening shine sometimes in there?
Yeah, I think so.
That's filler.
Is it?
Yeah.
You sure?
I'm pretty sure. I wouldn't be 100% sure, but I did have a very good friend who...
How do you put filler into solid meat?
Because they inject it.
Oh, it's just stuff they inject to make it heavier. And
yeah, so what they do is that... Yeah,
but you can use an injector to make it more moist.
Yes, but also they call it a pump. That's what they call it, pump. Especially in turkeys and things like that, they pump it. So that there's, you know, let's just say that those needles go in and, you know, it's a, let's say a turkey breast is round and it has like a machine that just does like a pinhead thing. You know Pinhead? Remember him? From Hellraiser?
Okay.
They just like shove it in the turkey and they pump it. And part of it is to keep it moist as they cook it and for preservatives. But also some of it's called pump because it creates a higher density and makes it heavier.
Yeah, weighs more. You're buying water.
Right, exactly. And some of that congeals inside of there and it gets different kind of, sometimes the color gets a little weird. So.
Well, wood pulp is different.
Well, okay. But what is wood pulp really wood pulp? Or is that just a name of something that's like a... But is it really?
My understanding, and again, I don't know for sure because I really didn't look into it. I do know that McDonald's buys a lot of this stuff, and it's almost like a liquid of some sort. It's almost like a pure, but it's all it's wood pulp. somehow. I don't know. I don't know. I'll look into it, so I'll be an expert on
McDonald's, Burger King, Taco Bell. Oh, here you go. This is from 2014, an article. Yes, there is wood pulp in your food. Sorry, you don't have to worry about it. There's a secret ingredient in your burger, wood pulp. Having perused the ingredients of McDonald's, Burger King, and other fast food chains, I can't take these websites anymore that you're reading and they jump around on you because they have ads coming out. And then you freeze because they're about to put a video on. Cellulose, a dietary fiber that sometimes derived from wood.
Dietary fiber.
Yep.
They're doing you a favor.
Taco Bell. Yeah. 100% is misleading. McDonald's hamburger is any worse than your small amount of cellulose contained in a carrot. Yeah, they just do it to kind of give it a little preservatives and to give it a little bit more cheapness, I guess.
It's not, yeah, there's an amount of cellulose from a carrot, but it's wood. It's not a carrot.
Yeah, wood pulp and food.
It's not like a healthy carrot ground up. It's a piece, you might as well be eating a log.
Could you roll it up and make a toothpick out of it afterwards? That would be kind of good. That'd be kind of, you know, kind of helpful. So wood pulp and food. This is from the foodrenegade.com. Cellulose is virgin wood pulp that has been processed and manufactured to different lengths for functionality. Though use of it is variant like cellulose gum, powdered cellulose, microcrystalline cellulose is deemed safe for human consumption according to the FDA. Well, that makes me feel good. So
you're eating wood.
Oh man, this pork is tough. Yeah, well, you know, you got a 2x4 in there. Move on. okay, let's see here. Well, you know that this whole student loan. You know, I've been talking about this a lot with people because I guess I have people that are good friends that are in college and all that, and everybody's really kvetching about this whole student loan issue. You know, where
the whole entire scam.
It's what a scam. I mean, really, if you break it down, what a scam that, you know, no longer can you have people able to do anything in life unless they have a 4-year college degree from a very expensive college that you have to, you know, spend $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 or more on so that your kid is possible. Well, if you don't pay for it, your kid is saddled with this major debt after they get out of school.
Yeah.
Whereas in days gone by, some of the greatest minds didn't have a full degree, or they went to just a school and they built things and did things and discovered things. Now we're just trying to push out geniuses, which it doesn't happen that way. And at the same time, built this massive pile of debt. Good for the banks again, right? Once again, good for the banks. So now people are, you know, one of the big things about student loans is you need to pay your student loans. It's not like a credit card. Student loan debt is not forgiven. And even in bankruptcy, you have to pay it.
Yeah, by law.
Yeah.
It's a scam.
Yeah, it's the worst.
It's a complete scam. And they pass a law.
Yeah.
So you can't even go bankrupt.
Right. You go bankrupt.
So the bankruptcy thing is there for a reason.
What's that? Well, bankruptcy itself, you mean?
Yeah, bankruptcy is a thing that's a useful tool. And it's been part of the society forever. And it works. But you can't go bankrupt with this student loan. You're the oldest debt forever, and it keeps jacking up. It gets bigger. It's like a criminal organization. The U.S. government's a criminal organization, and they're loan sharking poor students who have no collateral.
Right. Yep. It's terrible. Well, now it's gone one step even more horrifying. U.S. Marshals in Houston are now arresting people for not paying their outstanding student loans. So this guy was arrested last week at his home for outstanding $1,500 federal student loan that he had outstanding that he got in 1987. He said that 7 deputy U.S. marshals showed up at his home with guns. I guess they carry guns. That's a little bit. Let's skip that point. It's not like they had guns blazing, kicking in doors. Oh, maybe kicking in the door. If you don't come out, we're going to throw in a grenade. We know you got a student loan. You come out with your checkbook in hand. Oh, God. Anyway, so seven.
So let's get this straight. It costs more than $1,500 to send these deputies over there.
Yeah. Right. Well, they just washed it and be done with it. And then made the guy kept something on his credit or shut down his phone or something. God forbid, shut down his cell phone. That would have messed with him. That would have screwed him up.
That's
bad.
Send deputies at all.
Yep. So seven U.S. marshals showed up his home with guns. It took him to federal court where he had to sign a payment plan for the 29-year-old student loan. It's like it's like Nazi Germany.
Yeah.
You know, you will pay a student loan. You will come with us.
And the paperwork involved in this is probably more than the $1,500.
Right. The paperwork is not in order. Crazy. So you don't have Comcast, right?
Yes, I do.
Did you have a problem this weekend?
No.
So this weekend, I had somebody renting a house that I own up in Lake Placid, Florida, and he texts me, says, got the number 215 or 255 or something like that on the screen. I'm like, okay, can you call the company? You know, call the cable company. So I went on their website. I don't know. I couldn't get on. Now I have Comcast in my office. I was in my office on Sunday, I guess it was. Or Monday. Maybe it was Monday. I went on to Comcast. It was really difficult getting on the website. I tried to call them. Every time I called them, it kind of rang once and then nothing. Or it was busy. This went on for a few hours. I'm like, I don't know what's happening. Then I happened to see a tweet come through that Comcast has a massive, massive nationwide outage. You didn't see this?
I didn't know anything about it until you brought it up.
So if you take
I knew nothing.
Yeah, this is bad.
Looking at the map, it's terrible. The whole East Coast.
Yes. Yeah, so this is actually after it was cleaned up. There was much larger. This was today when I pulled this map. There's still some things that are out. So if you go over to DH Unplugged, you can see this map. It's kind of a map of the United States, and it has these areas that look like there's, tornado touchdowns or something in these areas? Big swaths of areas. Like the whole, where's that from? It's from Virginia all the way up to,
Boston. Boston.
So all these areas were out, and whether it was your cable TV, your internet, there was a whole bunch of things that were affected. Still, it's so like these companies. And I like Comcast, by the way. I like my service, at least. We have no idea what happened.
You're never going to find out.
Never going to find out. I mean,
unless you have an insider.
Yeah, somebody like spilled coffee on a server somewhere or something and just knocked that, right?
Something like that. Yes. On one of the main routers.
Right. It just, you know, somebody tripped over a cord on the main router and just blew everything out. So this was kind of I thought it was a pretty big deal. This is the vulnerability of the system, especially when you have a company as big as Comcast. Because who's left? I mean, what do you got? Verizon, you got AT&T on their UVerse thing.
Charter.
You got Charter. You got some of the smaller.
There's some small ones. I mean, I have a backup. I use Sonic. I have two systems just in case something like this happens.
And then what the other problem was that when I go home, I have like a dead spot at my house. So what we have is either the iPhone now will go switch over to Wi-Fi, calls on Wi-Fi. Or I have this little M-cell thing from AT&T that they don't charge me for, although I had to pay $199 for the device, that blows a Wi-Fi signal that converts to on the phone that's authorized to pick up that signal, and it extends my cellular.
Oh.
So it kind of works really nicely. But the problem is, without the internet, that's still dead.
Yeah.
So I had all sorts of problems. But I thought that was really interesting. If anybody knows why, in fact...
How long was it dead?
Well, most in the morning, it was about 2 hours, which...
Yeah, anybody knows why, let us know.
Yeah, I'd like to find out. And before we get to the stocks, I'd like to mention that I broke down and I finally bought a brand new big screen TV.
How big?
Well, it's not that big, but 65-inch.
Yeah, well, that's big.
Yeah, I got the Sony 65-inch Bravio 4K Android TV.
Okay.
So I looked at these OLED TVs that are like double the price, and I'm thinking to myself, well, that's really great if I play the DVDs that come along with the TV, because I don't know where else I'm going to get that picture from. Like, who else pushes that kind of picture? You know, you have to have a very...
Yeah, there's no reason to... I have a funny thoughts about this. I have 4K, too. I have a couple 4K sets. I think that's a good idea because there'll be some content eventually. People say, and the reason, of course, I was at Costco again and somebody was pitching somebody, oh, why? You know, the sales guy, they're trying to move some of the old sets, I think. Says, oh, there's no reason to buy 4K. There's no 4K content. It's dumb. Just buy a good 1080p. It's cheaper and it's a better set for your purposes. He goes on and on. I'm thinking, I didn't say anything, of course, but I was thinking to myself, there's a lot of good reasons to buy a 4K set. It has the newer circuits.
Mm-hmm.
It's 4K, and there is 4K content that will be available, so you'll be ready for it. And it's just newer. And it's about the same price. The difference in 4K and 1080p is very low.
Do you know how much this 65-inch thing was? It was $2,000.
Yeah.
Or a little less than that. I thought that was ridiculously cheap compared to what it could have been.
Yeah.
And there is 4K. First of all, Amazon Prime, if you're an Amazon Prime member, Amazon Video, whatever it's called, has tons of 4K stuff. Netflix, you just click it up a few dollars. I think it's like $3 more. There's a whole 4K ultra high def, many of their shows and movies.
Yeah, but what are you going to run it through?
What do you mean? What do you mean run it through? What? Netflix is right on the TV.
Oh,
it's built
okay.
in. Yeah, it's Android. Oh. It's an Android product.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
So that's that. Comcast is coming out with 4K. They have a new upgrade that's coming out shortly.
Yeah, Roku's got a new 4K box eventually.
Yeah, so there's plenty of things. Not to mention YouTube has plenty of cool stuff on 4K. I mean, maybe not movies, but cool stuff. And there's a bunch of other places. So there's plenty of 4K. And if you're not a 4K, you're not a 4K. It's still excellent. And then I got the Sony soundbar.
By the way, all these 4K sets, especially the newer ones, they all up a convert.
Right.
So you're getting kind of 4K, quasi-4K content at the best you can do.
I watched golf on it last weekend. Oh, that was so great. I was like there. Although I fell asleep in 5 minutes. Can't watch golf for more than 5 or 10 minutes. I go right to sleep.
I can't stand golf.
Which is the whole point, by the way. Well, let's take a look at the stocks.
I like to catch the end of a game, though. I have to say this last weekend, just by coincidence, I turned on, what's this golf? And Phil Mickelson is trying to tie the game.
Yeah.
So I got to watch him miss.
Oh.
Kind of thrilling.
Yeah.
He just missed. He goes, and he was not happy.
He stamped his foot. My grandfather used to do that. Stamp the foot. Well, let's go to the stocks. This is where you can find these is over on DH Unplugged and just go to the weekly stock picks. And if you haven't registered, just register. We want to make sure that only our listeners are watching this. You can go over to there, register, and check out all these live. There's a couple of different tabs. Tells you the ones that are open, the stocks that are closed. We have a stop of 10% automatically of a trailing stop. Sometimes we'll change that, and we'll talk about that if it's the case. Not an offer to buy or solicit any stocks, of course. Anything that you buy, obviously, will have any risk. Don't take our advice because we're not giving advice. This is just a game that we play here and use professional advice if you do think about doing any of this. Of course, John C. Dvorak, myself, or Horowitz Company may own any of these stocks, and we will duly note that as appropriate. There you go. You can rattle it off.
Sounds good. Well, we've got a couple of reds on here, mostly the ones you picked last week.
Yeah, they're all stopped. That darn Labu was 6:30 today.
Was 6:30?
The LABU, the Direction Daily Biotech Bull, missed
it. Oh, yeah, the one that you went all in on.
One I missed it.
It's timing.
I held some of that myself personally. I sold it today. But it's just that it was a 15% stop. I should have probably expanded it a little bit more. I've been still in.
Hmm. And you've been way up.
Yep.
You got the iShares, high yield corporate bonds
keeps on giving
shorted 11 is up 11. Intel is my Lark pick. I shorted it. I'm up 12.
Mm-hmm.
Under Armour, you bought
was stopped out of the it, stopped out of the
yeah, stopped out. Yeah, stopped stopped. Up. You were up and you made money.
Mm-hmm.
Leg Mason, which is my that's out.
Yep,
it's done. That just never happened. I'll keep an eye on that. Nothing in the Zika virus thing, which is not working out for anybody.
Now, did you hear the news recently today about the Zika virus may actually be some kind of a drug from like a Monsanto or whoever the heck
it's
it is?
A larvicide.
It's a larvicide?
A larvicide.
And it's being covered up?
Well, of course it's being covered up. But the larvicide, it turns out the reason how the larvicide works is that it gives mosquitoes birth defects.
Oh, yeah. So it just transfers
it
over.
The water.
Brilliant. Just brilliant. Brilliant.
Well, that seems like the candidate.
Yeah.
Even though people are denying it. Oh, well, it's just bull crap. I got a letter from somebody in Brazil today said that it was, yeah, it's bull. They don't even have this problem, this microcephaly thing. It doesn't even exist. It's just they're making it up.
Making it up.
Well, that's possible, too.
I got so many emails and stuff on my business idea for that. My small hats.
Yeah. Yeah.
It seems that I hit a nerve, a funny nerve. People thought it was extremely, they thought it was very funny.
Said they were laughing out loud.
Let's see what else you got there. We got
and I got Deutsche Bank is up.
Yeah, Deutsche Bank is up. Yeah, that was pretty good. Even though the company looks like it may go out of business, but very good.
This is German. It's the bank. It's the state bank. I mean, how are they going to go out of business?
Yep, Deutsche Bank.
That's the way I felt about Nortel. Was one of those companies that you'd think was a Canadian's favorite company, and then it went out of business.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got two picks.
All right.
Both are in the transportation sector, which is probably, they've been moving recently pretty nicely. And with the oil being as low as it is, they're just seeing a real good tailwind here. Now, while
excellent idea. You're right.
Now, trucking may actually, if we do see an economy that slows down, I am concerned about trucking and air transportation. But Spirit Airlines, these airline companies, by the way, this is one of the picks is Spirit Airlines, symbol SAVE. Spirit Airlines is the original pain in the ass. God, I can't stand traveling with them because everything costs money.
Everything's a fee.
But they know how to ring the customer pretty good. And so they're a good company.
I would go with Southwest if I was going to think along these lines.
You know, that's a symbol LUV, I believe. Love.
Yeah.
So Spirit has a really good, has had at least, a really good string of earnings expansion, revenue growth, margin expansion. I mean, the company is a solid fundamental company. Now, whether or not the entire sector craters, and if we do, in fact, have a major slowdown, if we have a slowdown or a market that crumbles, that's going to be a problem.
I'll put an LUV on there just to see how I can do against your airline pick.
LUV. Oh, LUV. I'll put that on there. This is JCD. Versus AH. That's our thesis on that.
Right.
So the other one is Swift Transportation. Yeah. They're a trucking company.
Right.
And the whole idea here is that while they are maybe slowing down a little bit on the transports, we see that railway bookings are down and obviously manufacturing is down a bit. However, they're saving just a tremendous amount of money on their overall expenses. And that may drop to the bottom line. And especially because now we've had several quarters of low pricing on oil, that may come right back down to the bottom line and say, I mean, think about that. You know, if we're talking about $35 or $40 to fill up our tank, and then we have, it's essentially half of what it was, right?
Right.
It basically cut out a major component of the expense of trucking.
Yeah, and those tanks are a little bigger than ours.
Right, yeah. They have diesel, which is more expensive, but yeah.
Yeah, the problem is they've jacked up the price on diesel, and it's still up.
Yep. So those are my two picks. What do you have?
I just love. It's all I got.
Oh, you
got
love. You know what? You do. That's you. You're just a cuddly kind of guy. You got a lot of love to give.
Yeah, it's a Valentine's Day.
Yep. 303, episode 303. Okay, we're going to put that on there. Okay, everybody, of course, you can go listen to this on iTunes. You can go listen to it on your favorite podcatchers? What do you call that? Podcatchers? You can listen to it on the site, on DH Unplugged.
Not even sure how it works.
Yeah. Somehow, it's amazing how the voice comes out of there. And we're really, by the way, we're really not in the radio. It's, we're not miniature us in the radio. You can follow John C. Dvorak at The Real Dvorak on Twitter. Listen to him on The No Agenda with Adam Curry for the most incredible breakdown of the news, things that you've never heard before. And what do you guys talk about? Takedowns? What do you say something?
News deconstruction.
Deconstructions. Right. So if you listen to something like the Zika virus is caused by, they're going to tell you the real, real bottom line on this whole gig. Or maybe what really happened to, and what the lowdown is on Supreme Court Justice Scalia and why there was no autopsy done. Did you go through that yet all, entirely?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Adam came up with the theory that Ted Cruz had him murdered.
Oh, God. That's a little nutty. Did you argue with him about it or no?
No, that's not. That's no.
That's not even bother.
It was just like too much of a jaw dropper.
Anyway, twice a week you listen to the No Agenda. You can find that on noagenda.com, I believe, and there's No Agenda Stream. There's also just look up John C. Dvorak on all of his sites, and you'll find it. And the Disciplined Investor is available on Sundays as well. We had a great couple of guests last week. And by the way, this week is a guy named Das, which is the favorite of all favorite guests, a guy who has worked in the credit markets on the private side as well as on a consulting basis with some of the biggest companies and countries around the world. And he's going to kind of give us a lowdown on what's happening with negative interest rates in his new book that he just put out. So,
oh, cool. That sounds good.
Good guy. All right. I will see you next week.
All right. Talk to you then.
All right, bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.